Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Jeff and Barbara Zarimsky, and they are from Shalom Adventure. This is a free web magazine. There's articles, videos, music, interactive Torah study course, special content for holidays, and of course, they're always looking for writers and advertisers and financial supporters. You can go to shalomadventure.com to learn more. So tell me, Jeff, you're wearing a yarmulke, and you're a Jew, but are you a Messianic Jew?
Yeah, that's a term that's been developed over the last few years to describe it.
So you have this ministry, Shalom Adventure. Kind of set the stage and describe it for us.
Sure. So we have, it's an online live magazine, so where some websites are, you know, like billboards, right? They'll have information on there about whether their company or their congregation or whatever, and it doesn't change that often. This changes every day, even every refresh. So if someone reads one article, the information on the sidebar has changed. Go to another article, it's changing again. And so there's always new articles every day, videos, recipes, music videos, talks, sermons, articles on a wide variety of topics.
How do you get all that content on the website, and where do you find it?
That's Barbara's job.
I get emails that have different links to things, and people send me articles, and I go through and decide what I want to post and what categories they go into.
Yeah, so what if somebody sees something that they really like, and then they go back and it's gone?
Well, we have archives where they can do a search, and most articles are up for at least 7 or 8 days.
Okay, so even though it might be switching around on the page, it's usually somewhere there that they can find it. So what kind of website is that called?
Well, I guess we call it magazine.
Yeah, it's a web magazine.
Right. Cool.
Right, so there's, how many different sections?
There's somewhere between 12 and 14 different sections, depending on what's going on.
So the new articles for that day are in that particular section that they fall under. But the other articles in the other sections stay on until they get new articles to their oldest one into an archive.
Now, who do you want to read this? Who's your audience?
Yeah, we have a wide variety of people who read it. The content is geared and written in a Jewish style and for Jewish people culturally on topics that interest the general Jewish population. Mm-hmm. But we find a lot of Christians like the same things because...
Yeah.
Again, Christianity has its roots in Judaism, Christian people really enjoy it as well. The music and the sermons and the articles they find very interesting. So some of the different topics that we have, some of the 12 to 14 topics include Israel itself. So we have a topic on Israel today, so it has current events about what's going on in Israel, and we also have Israel
then.
In the past. Israel then, right, so... Israel now and Israel then, so archaeology and
history.
History about Israel, ancient Israel, and then we have health, several health different topics, so we'll have recipes and kosher recipes.
And articles on health.
Articles on health. And then during the holidays, so then we have a whole holiday section, so depending on what holiday is coming up, Passover, we'll have special recipes for Passover and topics about Passover, explaining Passover.
Songs.
Songs that are specifically used at Passover time. A video series going over a Passover Seder, demonstrating a live Passover Seder, and then for each holiday after that.
So if I wanted to witness to my Jewish friends that didn't believe in the Messiah, this would be a good tool.
Correct.
And if I wanted to have my children... learn about maybe Jewish culture, this also would be a good tool.
Correct.
And are the items all free?
Yes, everything's free. We even have a Hebrew lesson course to learn how to read Hebrew. So a person can, in 10 minutes a day, in 18 days, a little over 2 weeks, they'd be able to read anything in Hebrew, anything that has vowels in Hebrew. So it doesn't take long. It's all phonetic. So it was pretty easy, and we've had a lot of people who've tried to learn Hebrew in other ways, not succeeding there, pick this up, and again, in very simple, 10 minutes a day, be able to grasp and read Hebrew.
So for my audience, which is, you know, education or homeschooling, either or, it's a great resource for a small school, or a great resource, a small faith-based school, Christian school, or it's a great resource for a homeschooling family.
Yes, and I said some homeschool groups are able to use that learning a language, right? So it could be their foreign language curriculum and meet that criteria.
So as you look back, how did God lead you to this point?
Well, both my wife and I came to accept the Messiah separately.
You weren't married at the time.
No, we didn't know each other. I was raised in a Jewish home. My grandfather was a rabbi. My parents did not really keep much of a kosher home. We kind of gravitated away, but the holidays, the Jewish holidays, were very important in our family. And if anybody asked, we considered ourselves Jewish. We lived in a Jewish neighborhood in New York City. In fact, the schools in my neighborhood were basically closed on Jewish holidays because everybody who attended was Jewish. So growing up, I didn't really understand that Judaism was a minority because everybody I knew was Jewish. But as I got older, I had some struggles in life. My younger sister was married. My older brother was married. A lot of my college friends were married. And I was still single. And I became, I met this young man, and he was a Jewish Christian, which totally confused me because you couldn't be both. You were either Jewish or you were Christian. You were either Jewish or you were them. But he was both, and that just blew my mind. And he started sharing his idea of things that he understood from the Bible, which got me thinking about things because I had never heard this stuff before. And sometime later, I became friends with someone at work, and she was a born-again Christian, and she gave me a Bible for Christmas as a present. So I started reading it, but of course I wouldn't read the New Testament. I just started in Genesis and started reading through. And I got to probably Exodus and Leviticus and the stories there about the Jewish people wandering through the wilderness. And God would give them a blessing, and then something would happen, and they would mumble and complain, and then God would bless them, and they would mumble and complain. And in my feeble attempts at prayer, I started saying, God, am I not recognizing the blessings that you're trying to give me? And as I was going through my readings, one day I got a card in the mail from a church that was having some prophecy meetings. Kind of sparked an interest, so I decided to go. And it was a Friday evening, and I actually called the church to find out if it was okay for a Jewish person to come to their services because I had never been in a church before, so I didn't know if it was okay. And they said, sure, and they invited me to come. And I sat back in a corner in the back of the church, not really wanting to mingle with anybody because it just seemed like a very strange thing for me to be doing. But during the service, out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone sit down next to me. And by the end of the service, I saw that it was someone I worked with.
Wow.
And he started talking to me, and unbeknownst to me, didn't realize that there were more Jewish people who believed in Jesus. There were actually two people in that church, two members of that church, that were Jewish by background and had accepted Jesus as their Savior, and he wanted me to meet them. And so the next morning was a Saturday morning. One of them called me, Sarah called me, and insisted that I come back. I had not planned on going back. So she insisted that I come back, and she wanted me to meet her friends, and she had a lot of people to introduce me to, and I never committed to going back, but I never missed a meeting after that. I never said I was coming back. People said, are you coming back? I said, I don't know. But I didn't miss a meeting after that. And several months later, I gave my heart to the Lord. And an interesting thing is that about 2 months after I was baptized, both those Jewish people moved away. God had them there for a season for me.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we'll hear Jeff's story. We'll be right back.
Michaels, welcome to Heartbeat. One of my favorite songs is The Best Is Yet to Come, which was the last song Frank Sinatra sang in public. He had the words inscribed on his tombstone. Recently, there has been some criticism of the idea of heaven, that if it's all white robes and praising Jesus, it will be boring. Like the song, I think the best is yet to come. God, who created all of the beauty of the earth, will reserve even more beauty for eternity. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us. When we choose Him as our Savior, we enter into God's best. It is and will be more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
Welcome back. I am talking with Jeff and Barbara Zaremski, and they are sharing their ministry called Shalom Adventure. This is a free web magazine with lots of content, free content, articles, videos, etc. And Jeff, we promised our listeners that you would share your conversion story. So take it away.
Sure. In some ways, some overlapping. I also grew up a Jewish in duplex. My grandparents lived upstairs, so Jewish home, celebrating the holidays, Passover, Hanukkah. I went to public school, but I went to Hebrew school as well in preparation for bar mitzvah, my brother, and most of the people that I knew in public school were Jewish. There were Catholics in the neighborhood. They all went to the Catholic school, so it left the public school for the Jewish people. And so New York City also, well, yes, New York City, Queens, New York. And so when I was still young, my uncle, my mother's brother, moved out to California, and out in California, back during the hippie movement time, the people came to his, he was living in a treehouse on like a commune, and some of the people there started coming to the Lord, coming to Jesus, and so there was this Jesus movement going on at that time. He was skeptical and resistant, but he believed in peace and love, and everything's going to be great and harmony together, but he started to see that in that setting, it wasn't reality. It wasn't taking place. It wasn't happening. They were stealing from each other, and there were fights, and there was arguments, and even with the marijuana and the, you know, everything, the concept of peace without religion wasn't coming reality. And some people's lives that were going to these Jesus meetings were having their lives changed and reformed. And he was at one of the meetings, and one of the worst guys in the commune gave his heart to the Lord. And that really impacted my uncle Michael, and and he was going to go up and give a little talk. Or they were having testimony time, and he was going to go up there and talk. And he got up there, and he just started breaking down, crying. Just the Spirit of God just moved on his heart in a powerful way. So I didn't know that whole story till later on growing up. But one thing he did was he bought us some children's Bibles, and he sent it to us. And I remember the emotion in our family. You know, what's happened to Michael? He's become a sugar nut. Crazy, he's losing it. It was bad. You know, it was one thing, okay, he's moving to California, becoming hippie, living in a treehouse. That was okay. But now he's accepting Jesus as the Messiah. Now he's gone nuts. That was no good. So, but they weren't going to throw the Bible away. Right? So they just put it on a shelf. And I'd read it. I'd look at the pictures. And a lot of pictures, all the pages. And that kind of just stirred something that lay dormant for a number of years. And then I was in college and basically got into atheism and studied biology and evolution and becoming a forest ranger in the forestry field, forest tech, and just didn't have a faith in God. And I was then living in Florida, and my mother was living down there also. My parents had gone through a divorce, and they became a custody situation between my parents over my younger brother. And so my mother drove up to New York for the court hearings, and each court hearing got delayed one after another, and she couldn't afford a hotel for ongoing time, and it was December, cold, and she's now staying in her car waiting for the next court hearing to come up. She couldn't afford to drive back down to Florida and then back up. So she's very depressed. She had been suicidal. She attempted suicide prior to that, and she was driving down the highway, the Long Island Expressway, and she saw a big, huge vehicle van pass her by, 30-foot van drive past her, and on the back of it, it said Seventh-day Adventist Community Services. Now, she didn't know what Seventh-day Adventist was, but community services, so maybe they can help me out in some way. So she followed the van, eventually pulled off the highway, eventually pulled into a parking lot, and all these people started coming off, piling out of it, and eventually the driver came out, and she asked, you know, can someone here help me? And the person said, well, come on inside. Well, that community service center, they would use these vehicles, recreational vehicles, to drive into Manhattan and pick up homeless people and bring them back out to the shelter and held this winter party for them with food and testimonies and music and gifts, gloves, hats, scarves, teddy bears. That was their favorite. They loved the teddy bears. And so that was their first day. They did it for 3 days in a row. That was their first day. And so she sat down, she's hearing these stories, she's with all these homeless people, and she's feeling homeless as well. So she's really connecting, you know, with them and listening to these stories. And so at the end, the homeless people get back on the vehicles and get taken back into the city. But she drove herself in, so she stayed and helped clean up, and they talked to her and ended up letting her stay there. So she went through all three of the holiday programs that winter and heard it over and over again. Started Bible studies with them, accepted the Messiah. And so she calls us in Florida, tells us what's happening. I, like my uncle, was a hippie also, and so I was a vegetarian. And so she tells me, oh, these people let me stay with them in the community service center. That's nice. They've got good, healthy food. I thought, oh, that's nice. And they keep Sabbath like grandma. That's nice. And they believe in Jesus. I said, that's not nice. This is weird. You know, that's no good, you know. So that's the line that you cross. So she started telling me about the Bible. And my grandmother and I, we went to the synagogue, asked them for a Bible. They didn't have any Bibles there. They got the Torah. They have some Haftorahs, the prayer books, but they didn't have any Bibles. So we went to a Christian bookstore and asked them about Bibles. They showed us this version, this version, this version. I thought, I didn't know there's lots of different versions.
Yeah.
I just want the Bible. So we went back home a little discouraged, but then my grandmother remembered that Uncle Michael had sent her a Bible also years and years ago, so she got that out. So while my grandmother was very religious and very active in the synagogue, president of Hadassah and stuff like that, she'd never read the Bible. And so I started reading through the Bible to prove my mom wrong and to then be done with it. It was just, I'm going to find the text that says Jesus is not the Messiah. I'll be done with it. Get back to my life. She can get back to her life. And I'm reading through for months and months and months and months. Just from Genesis on, and my mom told me eventually she stayed in New York, got her own apartment. She told me, well, if you're going to be reading the Bible, you should pray. So I'm reading the Bible. I was working about 60 hours a week. I was going to school full-time. couple 12-hour credits. And one time I fell asleep in the middle of a test. I was so tired just from that schedule. But I had to read the Bible to help my mom. Then I got to have some time, so I'll do it before I go to work, and I'll do it before I go to bed. So I had this morning and evening reading prayer time, worship time. And God was moving upon my heart in doing that. And it went from just to prove my mom wrong to, hey, this is, God is real. So I went from being an atheist to believing in God. And the more I read, the more God became real to me. He began transforming my life and changing my life. And so I was all the way up to Isaiah. I had finished my courses in Florida. I saved up enough money, and I was going to transfer to New York, upstate New York, to forestry college. And drove through New York, stopped by to visit my fiance for 2 weeks. She introduced me to her new boyfriend, and so I'm out. And so now I'm homeless. And so my mom takes me to the community service center. And they were having their staff meeting where they all met together and shared testimonies of how they ministered and what happened in their week of work. And so as it went around the room, came around to my turn to share. And so I said, well, I've been reading through the Bible. See if Jesus is the Messiah or not. And that's where I'm at. And I'm up to the book of Isaiah. And so there was a Jewish man working there, Jewish believer working there. And he showed me, he took me to Isaiah 53, a very powerful chapter, aptly describes the Messiah, and really if it's no one else other than Jesus. And Daniel 9 prophecy that gives the timeline of when the Messiah would come, when he'd be immersed, when he'd be cut off, when he would be killed. And that was, by that point, I went from needing the text to prove him wrong to needing the text to prove right. Because I just saw it was so powerful in people's lives, my mom's life, and what God was doing in my life. I remember driving past a billboard just prior to that, pulling off on the side of the road, banging on the steering wheel. It said, Jesus is the Lord. And I said, God, I need to know if that's true or not. If it's not, I need to know. And if it's true, I need to know. And so he shared me, and I accepted Jesus as my Messiah. We call him Yeshua. That's what he was called. That's what his parents called him. That's what everyone called him, Yeshua. And they let me stay there for the 2 weeks. And I was working with them, going into New York City, sharing food with the homeless, package lunches and soup, and go into the city and share the lunches with them. And I'd been carrying this Bible around, pretty big size Bible, everywhere I went. Well, they had a box full of literature and Bibles, and it was a nice little pocket Bible, a nice zipper on it. But that's the greatest thing. I can now easily take it with me everywhere. So I had one of those. Well, then a few days later, we're out in the city again sharing food, had the box out, all the food's gone, and someone comes up and wants a Bible. I say, sure. We go to the box, and all the Bibles are gone, too. All the lunches are gone. I gave him my lunch. That was no problem. But then when he wanted a Bible, and there were no Bibles, and I had to give him my Bible, that was tough. But I said, you better read this.
Yes. If I'm going to sacrifice it, you better read it. Well, you know, we've come to the end of our show, and I'm sure our listeners are going to be dying to go to your website.
Yeah, there are testimonies on there, lots of testimonies of lots of people who've had similar experiences.
And I hope you even share the end of your story.
It is on there. There's Bible studies on there.
That's where you need to go to hear the rest of the story. And with that, I have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.